Okay, this teaching is going to be on familiar spirits. This isn't a long one, but it's just to make a really important point. There are many in the church who, when praying against demons, speak of familiar spirits as if they were those passed down from family, which they could be, but which is to say they are familiar to us, but this is an error, as the definition for a familiar spirit has to do with those spirits who are called up in seances and other such occultic activity like playing the Ouija board. They should not be confused with generational spirits inherited from relatives. These are a different type. They appear as ghosts of dead relatives or people we know. They cause havoc in manifesting and drawing great attention to themselves in order to entice the person away from God or to scare them. I think that the alien stuff is basically the same thing. Other spirits masquerading as aliens to entice people away from interest in God and putting doubt in them about the Bible and God. You know, the pictures of aliens that you see in all these cheap magazines and stuff, the triangular head looking ones that have big slanted eyes, those are deaf and dumb spirits. I've seen those. I once saw that kind in particular going back and forth in front of a pastor. And what they're trying to do is confuse the language, confuse how people heard what he said. And then I prayed against it, and then it disappeared. Anyway, shamans have the power of familiar spirits that can actually, through being possessed by these, change their appearance to be like an animal, like a walrus. And this is where the gypsy werewolf tales came from. There was a show on TV a couple years ago, a talk show, I can't remember which network aired it, but there was a Catholic charismatic couple called to minister to a man in England who had werewolf spirit, and he literally grew hair and nails and all this kind of stuff. And they had photos of him in the actual changing process and showed the deliverance changes. He came on afterwards to testify of the saving power of Jesus Christ from his former state. The presence of familiar spirits always signals occultic activity. Whether it is handed down from family or if they're active in a house haunting or causing illnesses in their victims who are inhabited by them due to past activity of family members in the occult or the person themselves. One example would be a young woman I met years ago who had sores and scars all over her legs, which made her look like she was a drug addict. But in fact, her father was a satanic high priest and had involved her in satanic rituals as a child. Demons inhabited her body and were making her break out in these unsightly sores, and it was a perpetual wounding, even though she had long before given her heart to the Lord, at least 2 years previous, she did not yet have the deliverance from them. Jesus took the curse, he became the curse, that we can be set free. In Nehemiah 9, the children of Israel stood for hours repenting of their sins and those of their fathers and grandfathers. For some who have been hurt by such activity in their families, they may not even know what sins to repent of. Even if they do, this can come out only by prayer and fasting. The deliverance and inner healing minister must have a life that is fully surrendered to God and have a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. God is great, but great power is conferred only to those who want to walk in holiness. A spirit of pride, for example, cannot drive out witchcraft, because you can't drive out control, for example, when you have a spirit of control. You can't drive out idolatry if you're walking in idolatry yourself. Sometimes with new believers, God does that kind of thing, you know, where he just does this sovereign thing, or in revival, because of his power is more heavy, you know, in the meeting. But I remember one time being prayed for against a fear of man, and nothing happened. Nothing. No feeling, no nothing. And I asked the Lord, and he said, how can the fear of man drive out the fear of man? Because the person that prayed for me had that spirit. God does not use perfect vessels, and we count on his righteousness, not just our own, but we must put on Christ to have an apostolic ministry of miracles of healing and deliverance and more is required. To whom much is given, much is required, Jesus said. The definition of a familiar spirit taken from the Zondervan Bible Encyclopedia says this: the spirit of a dead person, which a medium in the form of magic known as necromancy claimed to summon to consultation. In necromancy, or seances, in which the dead were consulted about the future, it was believed that either a spirit dwelt in the controlling medium, Leviticus 20:27, who was commonly a woman, or that the medium had fellowship with a spirit from whom she could receive information. Familiar spirits are that which the people on TV, like this guy that talks to the dead, are really talking to. He's not talking to your dead relative. He's talking to a familiar spirit, to a demon. The word familiar in this term has the sense of belonging to one's family, and so to oneself, ready to serve one as a servant. Mediums today are called clairvoyants or spiritists or shaman. They do not get revelation, but information from demons who know your weaknesses and neediness. Mediums seem to have deceived their inquirers by speaking in a thin, weak voice as though it came from the ground or a bottle, the encyclopedia says. Isaiah 8:19 and 19:4. Let's see, 70. Generally represents them as ventriloquists, it says. Nothing is known of their method of procedure. Zondervan says, but today that is not true. Today it is exposed even in the movies such as The Craft. Satan has his revival right now, but we are about to have ours, and his kingdom will be trampled on. The Mosaic Law forbade the consulting of familiar spirits, and mediums were commanded to be put to death. King Saul put away the mediums early in his reign, but greatly worried about the outcome of his last battle, he consulted the witch of Endor and asked to speak to the prophet Samuel. It's in 1 Samuel 28:3 and 7 and 9, and 1 Chronicles 10:13. It appears that Saul was told by the witch that she saw Samuel, and Saul himself entered into the conversation with the prophet. However, that's not who he was speaking to. King Manasseh also fell in the sin of consulting mediums, but his grandson Josiah put them out of the land. There is coming a generation of Josiahs, of Moseses, of Joshuas, and Yehus, a nation of deliverers who will do the same as those of old and rid the world of witchcraft wherever they go. Belief in the possibility of communing with the spirit of the dead was common in ancient heathendom. The Gilgamesh epic, Tablet 12, gives evidence of it, and Acts 16:16-18 tells of a slave girl who was a medium and brought her owners much gain by her divination. The scriptures give us clues as to how to deal with such spirits. Scriptures. Leviticus 19:31 says, give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Give no regard or pay no attention to. Leviticus 20:6-27. And the person who turns after mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. A man or woman who is a medium or has familiar spirits shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Deuteronomy 18:10-12. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or who uses his divination, or who is a soothsayer, an augur, a sorcerer, a charmer, a medium, a wizard, or a necromancer. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and it is because of these abominable practices that the Lord your God is driving them out from before you. Isaiah 8:19-22, and the Amplified says, and when the people, instead of putting their trust in God, shall say to you, consult for direction mediums and wizards who chirp and mutter, should not a people seek and consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? Direct such people to the teaching and to the testimony. If their teachings are not in accord with this word, it is surely because there is no dawn and no morning for them, and meaning no light, and they who consult mediums and wizards shall pass through the land sorely distressed and hungry. And when they shall be hungry, they will fret themselves and curse by their king on their God. And whether they look upward or look to the earth, they shall behold only distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and into thick darkness and widespread obscure night, they shall be driven away. Ooh. You can see from the scripture there is a curse on those who choose this route, especially when they know God and turn from him like the Israelites. 2 Kings 21, 1-6 says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he raised up altars for Baal, and made a wooden image as Ahab king of Israel had done, and he worshipped all the hosts of heaven, the Assyrian gods, and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, for which the Lord has said, In Jerusalem I will put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also he made his son pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, and consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. 2 Chronicles 33:6 Amplified says, And he burned his children as an offering to his God in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and practiced soothsaying, augury, and sorcery, and dealt with mediums and wizards. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Remember that the good news is that the light drives out the darkness. The best way to dispel darkness is to turn on the light. Worship destroys the power of witchcraft, so turn on your voice, the music, dance, and ask for the Holy Spirit to come. You can rebuke a lot and spend yourself striving, but the Lord of hosts is your rear guard, and when he comes, nothing can oppose him. Rather than go through specifically that passage of scripture, I want to remind you that in Luke 16, there is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And in that story, Abraham is sitting with the poor man who had sat outside the gates of the rich man. He's sitting in Abraham's bosom, and across this big gulf is the rich man in Hades, and he sees Abraham and the rich and this poor man, and he says, Oh, Father Abraham, you know, send this man send this man who's, you know, dead to my brothers so that they'll know not to come here, you know. And Abraham saying, they have Moses and the prophets, you know, they don't need me to go. And besides that, he says, no one can come from here to there, for there's a great gulf, you know. So the thing is that tells us that no, people cannot come from the dead to the earth, you know, and speak to people on the earth. If you hear somebody speaking to you, like I did a few days after my mom died, it was like, I think a week after, I heard her voice in her bedroom. I knew it was a spirit. I knew it wasn't her. And I commanded to go, and I didn't hear it again. On the other hand, there were other familiar spirits that hung around, and they would flicker the lights and do all kinds of things to try and scare us. So it's important to really know that where there's these kind of weird activities by demons, that these are caused by familiar spirits where there's been occult things going on. And it doesn't, you know, you can rebuke till the cows come home, as far as I'm concerned. But the best thing is that you worship, that you make your home a home of worship and the word. You can play the word out loud on some websites on the internet. They have the word if you don't have it on audio, in your own home and worship and dance and bring down the presence of God, because the presence of God is what drives out the darkness. And Graham Cook told a story at conference in 96, and he had some man call him on the phone that was a warlock, and he started cursing him. And when he stopped, Graham said to him, "Is that the best you can do?" And the guy started cursing him again. And after that, now I'm paraphrasing, it might not be exactly, you know, word for word what he said, but he said, "You know what? I think my boss had your boss call, tell you to call me so that I could tell you that he's coming to get you." And the guy hung up. And then about a year later, he was preaching somewhere, and a man came up to him, and he says, "You don't know me, but about a year ago, I called you on the telephone, and I cursed you. And I want to tell you that one night when we were meeting in the coven, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared in the flames of the fire. And when he touched me, all the demons fled. And not only I, but all the people with me were saved." We have to know that the power of God is greater than the power of the enemy, and to have confidence in that, no matter what, you know, shaky little things that the enemy might squeak up, that he is more powerful. And no matter what happens, to keep persevering. Now, I know people that have suffered for years because of this kind of thing of going to a medium, going to a crystal ball. I had a friend that gave in to her mother, and she went to a lady that, you know, read crystal balls, and it was on Coney Island or someplace like that. And for 20 years, she suffered from depression because of it, because she was a Christian when she went. She was a new Christian, but she was a Christian. And so it doesn't pay to have anything to do with anything that's occultic. You need to get out of it, to stay away from it. There's a lot of churches who don't teach you to stay away from occultic things, and people will dabble in horoscopes and all kinds of watching of occultic things on TV, and that, and it's just increasing more and more on the television. So you need to protect your children from these things. And even the cartoons on Saturday have various occultic stuff in them, and you really need to keep your children from that kind of thing and to pray over them and plead the blood of Jesus over them. God bless you.